Our first scripture lesson today comes to us from the Psalter, the 119th Psalm. Listen to the word of the Lord. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it unto the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to my selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, for which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life.
From the letter to the Hebrews. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord. Today's sermon is based upon a passage of scripture that is actually a sermon. The letter to the Hebrews is addressed to a particular congregation that is struggling with the changing realities of the world around it. We cannot pinpoint the location of this church or name the author as we can from the letters of Paul. The date is easier to approximate because Clement of Rome quotes Hebrews in a letter near the end of the first century. Still, compared to other New Testament letters, we know less about this congregation, someone named the Hebrews. But from within this little known letter, we lift up treasured markers of the Christian faith. On Christmas Eve, the midnight worshipers hear its eloquent opening line. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by a son. From Hebrews comes that glorious reminder that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Then, beginning with Abraham, the preacher of Hebrews calls the role of the heroes and heroines of the faith, leading to that climactic declaration, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." And from the passage before us today, we are often called to confession and assured of our pardon with, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean, our bodies washed with pure water." These good words of grace rise up from this largely unfamiliar letter composed by an unknown preacher to a church we cannot locate, but interestingly, to a community very much like our own. What we do know about the context of this early church is that it is seeking to keep the faith amid rapidly changing realities around it. Their religious world is pluralistic. A synagogue sits across the street, if you will, and many of this church's members have close ties to the world of Judaism. In order to be truly interfaith, you have to know what your own faith is to engage another's beliefs. And this letter is preoccupied with explaining Christ to a Christian community. Also around this congregation, others are holding on to various pagan traditions, and people are trying to sort out a single pathway of faith among many options. Someone has suggested that the rising of the new atheism movement today is similar, not because it advocates different deities, but it invites devotion to a variety of social and political ideals. So into a world of religious options and rapid change, Hebrews speaks to people who are beginning to question what it means to stake their claim on Jesus Christ as the unique revelation of God. In Jesus Christ, the letter asserts, God has done something new. By the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, the old sacrificial system that looked backward to make amends with the past has been replaced. Once and for all, in Christ, your baptism has cleansed you of your sins. The visible washing of your body with pure water carries an invisible, inward, relational, God-centered purification of the heart. In Christ, because we are forgiven, we are free to move forward, to face the changing realities of the world around us with hope and with confidence. Last weekend, Larry and I were invited back to the church in Decatur, Georgia, where I was called just a little more than a year after we were married. The occasion was the 60th anniversary of North Decatur Presbyterian Church, a congregation that sits at a large six-point intersection of three major roads. Founded in 1955, North Decatur's adjacent neighborhood was developed with post-World War II houses made out of kits bought from the Sears catalog. Sturdy little homes, sitting on graciously spacious yards, now in a place of rapid change. To the west, Emory University and the Center for Disease Control are ever expanding upward and outward. To the east of the church, Decatur has become a desirable place to live with close proximity to downtown Atlanta and with the charm of a small town, good schools, lots of green space. 23 years ago, when we arrived at North Decatur, there was a dilapidated little shopping center across the street with a tiny Belk department store, a family-owned chain of stores just recently sold, a drugstore, and an old bowling alley that was converted into a regional theater while we were there. With the growth of Atlanta, that little aging mall across the street has just been replaced with an LA Fitness, a home goods store, and a huge Walmart that is opening next week. Modest little homes near the church are being replaced by high-end cluster homes and condominiums. Gladly, the church we served is still a healthy, growing, vibrant, mission-oriented community of faith. But in the 10 years since we left, it has experienced such a rapid change in the community, they almost seem breathless trying to keep up with what is going on around them. From a faith perspective, the thing that has been hardest to take is that the most visible marker of that busy intersection is now gone. Directly across the street from our church, Scott Boulevard Baptist Church sat at a higher elevation and closer to the road, its steeple the most visible thing in the area. That church closed. They were able to sell their steeple to another congregation, so when the church was torn down this past year for some length of time, the steeple stood alone, depressingly, on the ground where the church is no more. Now, if you're about to throw yourself on your knees and thank God for the rigorous regulations of Lower Merion Township, I am right there with you. But I think this one church's changing physical landscape is descriptive of the anxiety we all have about a world changing so rapidly around us that we can hardly keep up, and a religious reality that is undergoing some new reformation that we cannot fully understand while we are in the middle of it. The good news for us is at Bryn Mawr Presbyterian Church, we are showing robust signs of vitality and growth. We print bulletins based on last year's Sunday averages, and we've run out of bulletins two or three times this fall. Our programs for youth and children are growing. Our financial commitment is increasing. More folks are deeply engaging in conversations about mission and outreach. But we also know so many of the children who grew up in this place have no connection with church anymore. While we're here on Sunday mornings, our neighbors are over at Starbucks. And many of our children are being pulled away from church school to play sports on Sunday morning. On a global scale, the conflicts in the world, so often religious in nature, have us asking questions about this religious life of ours. Friday's massacre in Paris is yet more proof that old rules about war no longer hold when civilians are randomly targeted, when social media has become a means of war, when Christians and other people of faith are being persecuted for their faith. And no place seems safe any longer. Many contemporary church historians claim our reality today is more like the early church of the first and second centuries than it is like the 1950s when the Presbyterian denomination was opening a new church almost every week. In the midst of our changing world, Hebrews is a good and gracious reminder for us in our time. It's not, let's sell the steeple and raise the building. It's not, let's close our doors and do our religious thing with no concern for what is going on around us. It's not, let's mourn and wallow in regret because we cannot be what we used to be. Rather, Hebrews encourages us, come together for worship and remember who we are because of how God has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. By the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have been sanctified, which means we have been forgiven and made holy. We have been set apart to do the good work of Christ in and for the rapidly changing world around us. We do not lose heart, for we now possess hearts sprinkled clean. That means at the core of our being, as individuals and as a community, we are ever alive for faith, come what may. The world is changing rapidly, and in Jesus Christ, God has changed us. God has given us all the potential we need to do the good work of Christ to meet the challenges before us. I love the way this part of the letter comes to its climax. Because our hearts are sprinkled clean, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds. Not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. Because our hearts are sprinkled clean, we are always people of a fresh start who can meet new and challenging realities with love and with good deeds. The wonderful thing about going back to North Decatur after 10 years, despite all the change and challenges that congregation now faces, is that they are thriving as a people of hearts sprinkled clean. People who went through terrible losses while we were there, of loved ones and marriages and jobs, now testify to how the church got them through the worst of times. A toddler I prayed and wept over in intensive care at Eggleston Children's Hospital with a cracked skull and an injured brain last Sunday took a selfie of the two of us and told me where he's going to college. Some of our old youth group are grown up now and bringing children of their own to church, and they're serving in leadership positions. And amid all the changing dynamics of their community, that congregation is provoking one another to love and good deeds. They continue to hold each other up in the midst of grief and illness and all this insecurity of rapid change. The initiative for affordable housing that was rehabbing single-family homes when we were there has now renovated 4 apartment complexes and built a retirement community for low-income people. Nearby Clarkston, Georgia, with a population of about 8,000, boasts more than 20 nationalities in its public schools. It is the most racially and ethnically diverse community of refugees in this country. And our old church is partnering with churches in Clarkston to help them with employment and to alleviate poverty and to help care for the children in that community. When it sometimes seems like the world is shifting on its axis and old assumptions and expectations no longer hold, sometimes it helps to take the long view. For me to look back at North Decatur, and for us to look back at the letter to the Hebrews, we find the encouragement we need to move forward. In Jesus Christ, the former things that weighed us down no longer have a hold on us. We are a new creation. Our hearts are sprinkled clean so that we can face the future with hope and with confidence, provoking one another to love and good deeds. Amen.